Picture a hillside at night. Solid overcast, no moon, terrain you cannot see, and the instruments say you are level and stable. The airplane is flying perfectly, every system is green, and it is about to hit a mountain. For decades, that was the single deadliest thing that could happen to an airliner. Not an engine fire, not a stall, a working airplane flown by a competent crew, flying straight into the ground because nobody in the cockpit knew the ground was there. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about the man who decided that was unacceptable, and the small gray box he spent his career perfecting until it could look a mountain in the eye and shout. Let's break this down. The industry has a clinical name for that night hillside. They call it controlled flight into terrain. Controlled because nothing is wrong with the airplane. The pilot is in command, the wings are level, the engines are running, the airplane simply flies under full control into the surface of the planet. Through the 1960s and into the 70s, controlled flight into terrain killed more airline passengers than any other single cause. And here is the part that made engineers lose sleep. There was no mechanical failure to fix. The metal was fine. The problem lived in the gap between where the crew thought they were and where they actually were. You cannot rivet your way out of a problem like that. Before we go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, if you have a milestone worth marking, or you know a pilot who does, that is AviationSoul.com. So, enter Don Bateman. Bateman was an electrical engineer born in Saskatchewan who spent the heart of his career at a company called Sunstrand, out near Seattle, work that eventually carried into Honeywell. And in the late 1960s, he became fixated on that gap between perceived position and real position. He wanted to build a machine that would watch the ground for you and speak up when the ground was getting too close too fast. The tool he reached for already existed on the airplane, the radio altimeter. Now, most pilots listening know the difference, but let's be precise, because the whole story hinges on it. Your barometric altimeter, the one in the panel, tells you height above a pressure level, roughly height above sea level. It has no idea what the ground under you is doing. The radio altimeter is different. It bounces a signal straight down and measures the actual distance to whatever is directly beneath the airplane. Real height, above real dirt, right now. Bateman's insight was this. If you know your height above the ground and you know how fast that height is shrinking, you can calculate whether the airplane is about to run out of air, and you can do it a few precious seconds before a human would ever notice. That became the Ground Proximity Warning System, GPWS. The first versions arrived in the early 70s, and in 1974, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, did something aggressive. It mandated the system on large turbine airliners in the United States. Not recommended. Required. Here's what most people miss about that box. It was not a radar, and it was not a map. It was a very opinionated calculator wired to that radio altimeter, running a handful of modes. Excessive sink rate. Excessive closure with the terrain. Losing altitude after takeoff. Flying too low without the gear or flaps configured to land. Dropping below the glide slope on an approach. And when one of those conditions tripped, the box did the thing that made it famous. It talked. That was radical. Cockpits in that era spoke in bells, horns, and flashing lights. Bateman and his colleagues understood something about human beings under stress. A horn tells you something is wrong. A clear human voice tells you what is wrong and what to do about it. So the box said, out loud, sink rate, terrain, terrain, don't sink, too low gear. And for the worst case, the one where you were seconds from a hillside, it stripped the message down to the two words that could not be misunderstood. Pull up. The data tells an interesting story about what happened next. In the years after that first mandate, controlled flight into terrain accidents among U.S. airliners fell off a cliff in the good direction. A category that had been the number one killer started to go quiet. The gray box was working, but it had a blind spot. A big one, and Bateman knew it better than anyone. Remember how the radio altimeter works. It looks straight down, only down. It measures the ground directly beneath the airplane and nothing else. So the original GPWS was, in effect, flying while staring at the pavement right under its own feet. Think about walking through a dark room looking only at the floor in front of your toes. You will never trip on the floor, but you will walk face first into a wall because you never looked up and ahead. That was the flaw. If an airplane was flying level towards steeply rising terrain, A ridge, the wall of a valley, a mountain that climbed faster than the airplane could see it. The downward-looking system got almost no warning. The ground directly below stayed far away right up until the terrain reared up in front of the nose. By the time the radio altimeter caught the closure, there might be only seconds left. Sometimes not even that. Through the 80s and into the 90s, that blind spot kept writing tragedies. Airplanes with fully functioning ground proximity systems still flew into high terrain because the box could not see what was ahead. It could only see what was underneath. Bateman spent years determined to give the machine eyes that looked forward. The breakthrough came from combining three things that finally all existed at the same time. First, accurate satellite position from the Global Positioning System, GPS, telling the airplane exactly where it was over the Earth. Second, a stored digital terrain database, a detailed elevation map of the entire planet loaded into memory on the airplane. And third, enough cheap computing power to compare the two continuously, in real time. Put those together, and the machine transforms. Now, it is not feeling for the ground beneath it. It knows where it is, it knows where every mountain on Earth sits, and it knows where the airplane is heading. It can look down the flight path, minutes ahead, and see the terrain coming before the airplane gets anywhere near it. That is the Enhanced Ground Proximity Warning System, EGPWS. And that word, enhanced, is doing a lot of work. It is the difference between staring at your feet and finally lifting your head to look at the horizon. The enhanced system did something the old one never could. It painted the terrain in color on the cockpit display, ground safely below you, nothing. Terrain getting close to your altitude, amber. Terrain at or above you and near, red. A pilot could now glance down and see the mountains as a picture. The way you would see traffic or weather. And when a real threat developed, the forward-looking logic could call terrain ahead, pull up with far more time to react than the old downward-only box ever offered. Honeywell rolled the enhanced system out through the mid-1990s. And once again, the accident numbers moved. Controlled flight into terrain, already knocked down by the original system, dropped toward something close to rare for aircraft that carried the enhanced version. The regulators followed the technology. In the early 2000s, the FAA moved beyond just the airliners and required terrain awareness on smaller turbine airplanes too, the ones with six or more passenger seats. The rule lives in the regulations as the Terrain Awareness and Warning System, TWS, and that is the name you will most often hear today. TWS is the standard the modern equipment is certified against. EGPWS is the most famous implementation of it. And here is where it comes home for general aviation. That same capability now lives in the glass panels a lot of you fly behind. A modern GPS navigator or an integrated flight deck with a terrain database and the amber and red picture, that is TOW's logic, descended directly from Bateman's work sitting in a piston single. The technology that started life-protecting wide-body jets is now watching over a Cessna 172 on a dark night in the mountains. Now, let's be honest about the trade-offs, because I promised you balanced and this system has real ones. The first is trust, and it cuts both ways. The early ground proximity systems before the enhanced version had a reputation for nuisance warnings, approaches into certain airports, terrain near the field, configurations the box did not like, and it would bark when nothing was actually wrong. And when a machine cries wolf often enough, human beings start to tune it out. There are accidents in the record where a crew heard the warning, assumed it was another false alarm, and kept flying. The lesson the industry had to learn, and train, and retrain, is brutal in its simplicity. When the box says pull up, you pull up now. Full power, climb, no debate, no looking out the window to confirm. You question it later on the ground over coffee, not in the air. The second trade-off is that the enhanced system is only as good as its data. It depends on knowing exactly where the airplane is, which means it depends on GPS, and it depends on a terrain and obstacle database that is current. New towers go up. Databases need updating. If you're flying behind this equipment, that database subscription is not a nagging expense to let lapse. It is the map the machine uses to keep you alive. An obstacle that is not in the database is an obstacle the box cannot warn you about. And the third, the one Bateman himself would want said out loud. This system is a backstop, a last line. It is not a substitute for knowing your minimum safe altitude, for reading the terrain on your chart, for flying the procedure the way it was designed. The gray box exists to catch the error that slips past everything else. The goal is never to hear it speak. If that voice ever says terrain, pull up for real. Something upstream in your planning or your flying already went wrong. The machine is there for the day you are human. It is not there to do the thinking for you. Here is the honest timeline. Start to finish. Original ground proximity, early 70s, mandated 74. The blind spot years, through the 80s and early 90s. The enhanced, forward-looking system, mid-90s. The broader terrain awareness mandate, reaching smaller turbine airplanes in the early 2000s. And today, that capability trickled all the way down into the personal airplane, roughly a 30-year arc from a box that stared at its feet to a box that reads the whole planet ahead of you. Who built it? The through line for more than 40 years was Don Bateman. He is credited on dozens of patents in this field. He collected the National Medal of Technology and the Charles Stark Draper Prize, which is about as close as engineering gets to a Nobel. And he did it not by inventing one flashy thing, but by staring at the single deadliest problem in aviation and refusing to look away from it for an entire career. Don Bateman passed away in 2024. But if you fly behind a terrain display, if you have ever watched the ground below you glow amber and ease the airplane up, if you fly at night in the mountains and sleep a little easier for it, you are flying inside his life's work. There are people at home tonight, all over the world, who have no idea they owe their lives to a quiet engineer near Seattle who taught airplanes to say pull up. That is a legacy most of us can only dream of. My thanks to Honeywell's published histories of the system, to the FAA's terrain awareness rules, and to the accident investigators whose findings pushed this technology forward the hard way. You can find more of these segments at radiohangar.com. Fly with a terrain page up, keep that database current, and if the box ever raises its voice, do not argue with it. Just climb. I'm Vector. Keep your head up and your eyes ahead.